Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we're so blessed to have you join us for this message. We've been doing a series called God With Us. God with us. This is the title of our Lenten sermon series. Since the beginning of the year, we have been looking at some of the big, bold, famous, faith-filled stories of the Bible. This Bible that we read is a faith-filled book. In all honesty, I do not know how you live in today's world without faith. I believe that everyone has faith, but the real questions are, what is your faith in? Or who is your faith in? We've heard about the faith in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We've seen the faith of Daniel in the lion's den. We have walked up to our giants and with the faith of David the shepherd boy. We saw the faith of Elijah on Mount Carmel when he called down fire from heaven. Last week, if you were listening to our message, we began a journey to Jerusalem and the empty tomb, and we've switched our faith focus from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So during these weeks of Lent, we'll study Jesus. Last week, we looked at the hole dug in through the ceiling. We heard Jesus say to the paralyzed man, "Your sins are forgiven." Jesus saw the faith of the four friends who carried their friend to Jesus. Do we have that kind of faith? I have to report that our little seed, the Seed Christian Church, has that kind of faith. The people we have prayed for, I've seen some miracles that have been received. What a blessing it is for me to be the pastor of a wonderful church and to see this kind of faith daily. Boy, oh boy, I hope that Jesus can see this kind of faith in you and me. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." So what? Maybe a good so what comes early. So what is it that you hope for? So what is it that you're certain of? If you're taking notes, write these questions down and answer them later. There's some great questions. Do you know that in Hebrews 11:6 it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Let me say that again. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to God must believe that God exists and that God rewards those who earnestly seek him. Faith. Faith in the fire, faith in the lion's den, faith in the valley when you face your giants, faith on the mountaintop, faith and forgiveness last week. Faith is a reward for those who earnestly seek him. Let us seek Jesus in our faith. We come today to God in a moment of prayer before we turn to our scriptures. Lord, God of all grace and glory, healing and forgiveness, we come today to earnestly seek you. Open the eyes of our heart. Open the eyes of our lives so that we can truly see you. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Well, if you have your Bible, grab it. We're going to be in Luke chapter 18, verses 35 through 43. Just a quick note, if you don't have a Bible, our church will send you a Bible. Email me at PastorDave@theSeedChristianFellowship.com. We'll mail you a Bible. We'll put God's Word in your hand. Luke chapter 18, verse 35 through 43. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. And they told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they praised God too. The story of the blind beggar is told in three of the synoptic gospels. Synoptic means similar or same. It's a fancy word. Synoptic means similar or same. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This miracle story is told in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mark's account is a little more detailed. Mark tells us that the blind beggar is Bartimaeus, that he's the son of Timaeus. Matthew tells us that there are two blind men. Scholars believe that Bartimaeus is the loudest of the two. Matthew and Mark tell us that Jesus is leaving Jericho. Luke tells us that he's arriving, most likely because the next story in Luke is the story of Zacchaeus and the tree in the town of Jericho. Most scholars believe that this is the same Jericho that Joshua and the Israelites conquered by marching around the wall seven times and shouting out. Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho. Now, hundreds of years later, Jesus comes through Jericho on the way to Jerusalem to face the crucifixion and the cross. Jesus had to pass through Jericho to get to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was 18 miles northeast. Jericho is a beautiful city refurbished by the Herodians, who made it the site of their magnificent winter palace called the City of Roses. Boy, that sounds like Pasadena, the City of Roses. Jericho, the City of Roses. Jesus is passing by on the way to Jerusalem. Jesus has set his face for Jerusalem and knows what lies before him. Yet we see in this story, Jesus has the grace and mercy to pause and heal a persistent, loud beggar. Have you ever thought about this story? Have you ever entered into this story? Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem. Are you one of his followers? Are you living in the town and do not even know that Jesus is passing by? Are you the blind beggar? Are you the silent one or the loud and boisterous one? Where are you in this story? There's a story told of a businessman who had to travel to a small town for a meeting. He invited his wife to come with him. She was excited about the trip, and she learned that her husband was going to be flown to that small town on a twin-engine Cessna plane. "Honey, I've decided not to go," she said. "What? Why not?" "I'm not going on a little bitty twin-engine Cessna," she said. Her husband smiled and knowingly said, "Honey, your faith is too small." She quipped, "No, the plane is too small." The businessman really wanted his wife to go with him, so he canceled the Cessna, booked travel on a major airline. His wife went with him because she put her faith in the bigger plane. Her faith grew because of the size of the plane grew. Do you see it? The object of her faith determined how much faith she decided to have. So how big is your faith? Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem. Think about this for a minute. Jesus will never pass this way again. The cross awaits Jesus in Jerusalem. The crowds of Jericho are gathered around him. They're following him because of the miracles they've seen and heard. The deaf hear, the dumb lame, the dumb speak, the lame walk, the lepers are healed, the blind are given sight, the dead are raised and given life. Enter into the story. Jesus the healer, Jesus the miracle worker, Jesus the master teacher has come to town. I'd like to hit a pause for a minute. Maybe there is someone listening here today that needs to meet Jesus. My advice is to cry out like blind Bartimaeus. Do not miss it. Blind Bartimaeus can hear the commotion and hear the crowd. He can sense that something big is happening. He calls out and asks what is happening and is told that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And remember, those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted even the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." The crowd sees Jesus of Nazareth passing by. The blind beggar sees so much more. He cries, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Think about it. Old blind Bartimaeus had perhaps even heard a first-person testimony from someone who had heard of Jesus and had seen his miracles. We're not told how blind Bartimaeus was blind. We're not told why he was blind. We're not told that he what the cause of his blindness is. What we are told, that he was a blind beggar who came out every day, most likely to the same place, and begged for enough to eat. Bartimaeus had had a lot of time on his hands to spend thinking. Maybe with all this time passing by, Bartimaeus had made up his mind. If I ever hear that Jesus is nearby, I'm going to cry out until he hears me. Today is the day Bartimaeus cries out, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. That's what he cries. One thing is for sure, Bartimaeus was making himself heard. He was crying pitifully, chanting at the top of his lungs. He was desperate. He was frantic. He cried out and shouted all the louder, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. What I find interesting in my study time is that the blind man knew Jesus was the Messiah. The title Son of David is a messianic title and is used once in Mark in this story and only twice in Matthew and here in Luke. The fact that the beggar addressed Jesus as Son of David is a messianic title and indicates that the Jewish beggar knew that Jesus could give sight to the blind. I'm thinking that blind Bartimaeus had heard the promises foretold by the prophet Isaiah. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped, Isaiah 35:5. Or maybe someone had told blind Bart about Jesus of Nazareth's first sermon when he was in the temple in Nazareth, and he read this scripture and says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, Luke chapter 4, 18 and 19. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. Blind Bartimaeus cries out at the top of his lungs. Don't miss it. Please, please do not miss this. Blind Bartimaeus knew his condition. Blind Bartimaeus knew he needed help. Blind Bartimaeus knew that he needed to cry out to Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus knew he was in need, and he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Boy, that should be our cry. Someone once bluntly asked blind and deaf Helen Keller this question. Isn't it terrible to be blind? They asked her. To which she responded, better to be blind and see with your heart than to have two good eyes and see nothing. What do you see? What are you crying out? The great reformer Martin Luther, whose stature increases with time, was found by his deathbed. He was found by his deathbed, a scrawled little note. It was scrawled in German and Latin, and this is what he wrote. We are beggars. That is true. This statement would have inspired D.T. Niles when he wrote these words. Evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where he can find a piece of bread. Not a sweet roll or a cup of coffee, but a bite of the staff of life, the bread of life. The church is a fellowship of beggars receiving and offering love, support, and hope. Committed Christians acknowledge their dependence upon God and their interdependence on one another. They are always in the bread line, if not receiving, then giving. Isn't that a wonderful quote? We are beggars telling other beggars where to find bread. The crowd tried to stop blind Bartimaeus, but he cried louder until Jesus invited him to come to him. Blind Bartimaeus gets up and leaves his cloak. Don't miss that part of the story. The blind man leaves his cloak. A blind man would never do that for fear of losing it and never finding it again. Do you see that? That took faith to take off his cloak and go to Jesus. When he comes to Jesus, Jesus asks one simple question. What do you want me to do for you? Notice blind Bartimaeus, he does not hem or haw around. He does not say something like, well, whatever you would like to share or give me today, I'm just a beggar, whatever you need to give me. He doesn't ask for mercy anymore. Jesus asks one simple question. What do you want me to do for you? Immediately, boldly, confidently, blind Bartimaeus says, Lord, I want to see. Blind Bartimaeus had faith and holy boldness to ask Jesus for exactly what he needed, his eyesight. What is it that you need? Do you have that kind of faith? Put yourself in this story. Know exactly what it is that you want Jesus to do for you. We are told by Dr. Luke, Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received a sight and followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they praised God. Luke chapter 18, 47 through 48. Well, a quick look at the Greek here, and I love breaking down and reading it in the Greek. When Jesus asks, what do you want? The Greek verb that is used for do you want is thelo, and it's a present active verb. Jesus is saying, what is it that you want and keep wanting me to do? What is it that you wish for and keep wishing for me to do? What is it that you desire and keep desiring for me to do? In fact, he's saying, what is it that you keep asking? And in verse 47, when Jesus says, receive your sight, your faith has healed you, the Greek word for healed is sozo, S-O-Z-O, sozo, healed or sozo, which sozo can be translated with words like to heal or healed, to rescue, to cure, or to save. Yes, this is a verb with a present active voice, which means that the action is a completed action in the past and will continue forever. The blind man's faith had healed him, cured him, rescued him, and saved him, and will continually do that. But it was the faith in Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, that had rescued him and saved him. A blind girl one day was caught in a fire on the 10th floor of the building. She could make her way to the window, but she could not see anything. She felt the heat and smelled the smoke of the fire, and then she heard a fireman yell, jump! Jump! She said, I'm scared to jump. I can't see. The fireman said, if you don't jump, you're going to die. Take the risk and jump. It is bad enough to jump from 10 stories high, but to jump when you cannot see where you're jumping, that, friends, is terror. In the midst of the chaos and confusion, she heard another voice. Darling, jump. I've got you. She smiled and said, okay, Daddy, I'll jump. Jesus Christ is inviting us to jump. He knows we are nervous, but just jump. He knows you are scared, but just jump. Remember, we are talking about your daddy in heaven, your heavenly father. We're talking about somebody you know. You have seen what he can do. So what? Let's start to bring this home for a minute. So what is your faith in? That was the question at the beginning of this message. What is your faith in? Who is your faith in? Are you sitting by the side of the road or in the bleachers of life as Jesus is passing by? Are you allowing others to push you out and to push you away? Recent studies indicate that men and women of faith live longer than people of no faith. They have fewer strokes, less heart disease, less clinical depression, better immune system functions, lower blood pressure, and fewer anxiety attacks. They're also less likely to commit suicide. These findings come from a secular medical school and schools of public health. What is more, Dr. Harold Koenig of Duke University Medical Center has calculated that the lack of religious involvement has an effect on mortality that is equivalent to 40 years of smoking one pack of cigarettes per day. And another study by researchers at the University of Texas found that those who regularly attended worship services lived an average of 7 years longer than those who never attended. Do you hear that? We better get back to church or get on the radio and listen to a message. Those who attended regularly lived an average of 7 years longer than those who never attended a worship service. Oh, one last thing to think about. When blind Bartimaeus is healed and saved, we are told that he begins to follow Jesus. The Greek verb for follow is one of those present active verbs that tells us that blind Bartimaeus never stopped following Jesus. Wow. That's fascinating to me. He followed Jesus and he continued to follow Jesus. Many scholars believe that blind Bartimaeus was there on Palm Sunday and on Good Friday when Jesus was crucified on the cross. Just think, if blind Bartimaeus was there on Palm Sunday and saw Jesus ride into town on a donkey with the shouts of, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Well, that's the same thing Bartimaeus said. "Jesus, Son of David." And on Palm Sunday, they're shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Did you know that "Hosanna" is "save us, we beseech you" in Hebrew or Aramaic? "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Palm Sunday, they're shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Well, maybe Bartimaeus was there when Christ was beaten and crucified. And maybe he was there in the upper room when Mary came running back shouting, "He's risen from the dead. I saw him." Here are a few simple principles that I would take from this story today. Be persistent in your faith, even when you cannot see. Be persistent in your faith, even when you cannot see. Faith is the evidence of things not seen and the assurance of things hoped for. What is it that you have faith in? What is it that you hope for? Be persistent in your faith, even when you cannot see. Be willing to cry out, even when others are telling you to be quiet. That's point number two. Be willing to cry out, even when others are telling you to be quiet. The crowd told Bartimaeus, "Be quiet, don't bother him," and he shouted the louder. Maybe it's time for us to shout out to Jesus. Number three, be ready to respond. Tell Jesus exactly what you need. Right now, do you know what it is that you need the most? Ask Jesus for that. And number four, be prepared to follow and keep following Jesus, Son of David. Do you remember what Martin Luther scribbled out before he died? "We are beggars." That is true. Okay, now newsflash, you and me, we are Bartimaeus. We're the beggars, and we're to cry out and keep crying out, "Jesus, Son of David, Son of God, Savior, Lord, King of kings, Lord of lords, have mercy on me." We belong in this story because we are beggars. Once we have found the bread of life, we are to go and tell other beggars where to find that bread. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, God of grace and God of glory, we cry out to you, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." We cry out today for those that are alone and lonely. I pray that you administer your grace, give them a sense of your powerful presence and your perfect peace during this pandemic. I pray for those that need healing, to need to be rescued, that need to be saved. Lord, I ask that they would cry out and find you, cry out to Jesus. Lord, I pray for all the pastors and churches that are trying to proclaim your word. Be with them and fill them with holy boldness to teach others to cry out to Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. God bless. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.